Today's good news from 1 Corinthians 9 is where Paul talks about the delight of sharing Christ with folks who have yet to know Him. And it's very helpful truth for Christians in America, where we live in a culture that is secular in its tone. And in the passage would probably most relate to the phrase, living among the Gentiles who do not have God's law. Okay, in secular, a world simply says, God has nothing to do with public life. And God is for the church building. God is for personal prayers. God is not for what we do anywhere else. But Paul says, so when I live among those Gentiles, I try to live like them in order to present many to Christ. Okay, so he's stepping into their world. And giving people the opportunity to know Christ where Christ is not known. The acrostic of today's sermon outline, BLESS, comes from Christianity Today, from a series of articles that they had on telling the gospel. And I thought they were real challenging and encouraging. So these are the commentary on 1 Corinthians 9. It's where Paul's a missionary at his best. He's a Christian at his best, sharing the good news of Christ. And it almost goes against his personality, because Paul was aggressive, assertive, straightforward. You can almost pause and say, did Paul really write this? That when he was with the Jews, he lived like a Jewish person to try to find common ground with them to bring them to the Lord? He said yes. When he was with the Gentiles who knew nothing about God's law, did he live like that? So that he could bring the Gentiles to the Lord without compromising his convictions. Yes, he did. Okay. So it might be different from the personality you and I have, or the strength you and I have in standing for the truth. Nevertheless, you can stand for the truth and still let love go and meet other people where they're at. And this is what Paul was doing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And so, verse 19, I became a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. And Paul said, I'm a free man. I'm not going to be anybody's slave. But he made himself a servant to everybody. That's a radical concept that you could see yourself doing with the Lord's help. I make myself a servant to everybody to bring many to Christ. Paul says, I'm here for the other guy. I'm here for the person who does not know the Lord. I'm here to speak their language. Okay. If I go to Spain, I speak Spanish. If I go to Ethiopia, I speak Ethiopian. I can't pull out my NIV and say, read this truth there, Mr. Ethiopian, and turn to the Lord. Okay, I'm going to have to get a Bible in his language. I'm going to speak in his language. Paul's saying, I'm not here to give people a spiel. Okay, this is something that's on my mind, and here you go. I don't know if you understand it or not. You're going to need the Lord to send the gift of tongues so that I can speak in your language and you can understand me. He was there to serve others, and I think God calls us to do the same. I am here for you. I am your servant, Paul is saying, your slave, at your service, so that you would meet Jesus. And that's the call that you and I have to the people around us. Paul had it with the Corinthians, who, you know, they were a pretty secular pagan bunch. But becoming a servant for the sake of Christ is really what a lot of effective witnesses did in the Bible. Peter did that with the Jewish folks who he tried to win over. Paul did that with the Greeks, the Gentiles, who he tried to bring to Christ. Joseph did that with the Egyptians, even though he didn't want to be there. He won them over by his life among them. Daniel did that with the Babylonians. He didn't want to be among them. He won them over by the way he had relationship with the Babylonians, holding forth the truth, serving where God had put him. I make myself a slave to everyone. And you and I can do the same as God sends us, sometimes to places we don't really want to be. Verse 20, Paul says, to the Jewish people, I became like a Jewish person. What does Jewish people do who have some respect for God? They worship the one true God. That's really important. I'm glad you worship the one true God. I'm not a Jewish person, but I like Moses. I like Abraham. I like the Ten Commandments. That's what you and I could talk about when we're talking to a Jewish person. To start there. Among the Jewish people, I live like I'm Jewish, so that I might bring Christ to them. Okay? This is what missionaries do on the field. This is what missionaries do in Africa and the Middle East, and American Christians do in America. Okay? And so, then we move to who Christ is. I'm sure when Paul talked to the Jewish people, he said, you know, those Ten Commandments are great. Hey, which one do you feel like it's hardest to follow? You know, they share, and maybe Paul said, the hardest one I have to follow is, you shall have no other gods before me. Boy, it reminds me that I need God's help and forgiveness if I'm going to know God. I need peace with God. And, you know, I only find that through Jesus. So he begins in the Jewish culture and he moves to Jesus. And if I was talking to a Jewish person, listen, and then say, hey, well, let's talk about the most famous Jewish person of all time. Jesus. You know, what do you think of Jesus? And have you ever read anything about him or what he said? You know, to the Jewish person, I live like a Jewish person so that I might bring Christ to them. And because you're listening to the Jewish person and you understand them to their satisfaction, to understand means to stand under, it's quite a challenge to understand somebody. It takes a real servant, slave mentality, because I'd rather not understand others. I'd rather tell you what I know, okay? Tell you what the truth is right off the bat. And that's good, but we could hold off on that to the Jews, become like a Jewish person to win them. To the Gentiles who don't have God's law. Boy, you know, come right down to it, I'm not sure how much I know of the God's 600 laws of the Old Testament. I'm not sure I can give a detailed description of the mission of all the prophets. I'm not sure I can talk about the Psalms in terms of all the highlights of who Jesus is without, you know, 10 commentaries over here and 11 over there. So to the Gentile who don't have God's law, I try to start where they're at. Verse 21, to the Gentiles not having God's law, I don't rely on God's law before them. I make myself a slave to everyone. Verse 19, if you could take that home and know that's the truth of God working in your soul, that you and I are slaves to lost folks in Pennsylvania, you know, and the unchurched who we live around, servants to being Christ to many as possible. In our world, you and I, we make ourselves a slave to the secular guy. In our world, you and I make ourselves a slave to the Hindu. He believes in many gods. We're going to make some applications in a minute. But even to the violent, a servant to the violent. How can I help you see God? I make myself a slave. Even Paul said to the weak. See, do you see yourself as a slave to the Christian who's a Christian in name only? You know, I don't think they know the Lord. I don't know that they don't know the Bible. They don't pray, and they say they believe in Jesus. But how am I going to win them over? I'm going to make myself a servant to them. To the weak, I become as weak. so that I can bring them to Christ. And it's a way to go to people and jump in their world and meet them where they are. And here's reminders from God's Word. Verse 22, I have become all things to all people. Okay, going where God sends us. The Message Bible kind of runs with this and I think does a pretty good job in the paraphrase translation of it. And here's the big one. You have about 8 words turned into 28 words, but that's okay. This is what preachers do. So this is, he says, as if Paul would say, I didn't take on their way of life. I just didn't go, you know, there's a bunch of sin going on. I just didn't say, I'm going to sin. Hooray for that. And I don't believe in God after all. I'll just fit in with you, the culture. He says, I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world, tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every form of, here it is again, servant there is. Okay. To be a servant, to be a slave, to hear people where they're at, and yet stand firm on Christ. Well, let's get to the acrostic bless. Good news from these brothers and sisters that who look at these chance to share the gospel. B stands for begin. Begin with prayer. As we think about the people around us or how we're sent to them. B, bless. I want to bless people, so I begin with prayer. To say to the Lord, Lord, I can't do anything without you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So if anybody's going to meet Christ through me, it's going to take divine intervention, right? God's the only one who brings people to himself, but he uses us as his dear children, stumbling along. And God's faithful to do this. Begin with prayer. Lord, love this other person through me. Good way to pray. Begin with prayer. And then L, spend the most time on this one, I think, for listen. Listen to a person who believes different from you. Not to pretend like you're cool, you know, not to agree with everything somebody says, but just to listen, to hear their heart. Their heart's lost. Their heart's hurting. Their heart's grasping for straws, you know, trying to find some stability, even if they come off as very, you know, confident. Oh, I believe what I want to believe, and I don't let anybody else tell me. Well, tell me more about that. How do you deal with the future and problems? Who helps you? And is there limitations in terms of what you believe? Just listen. And see the world from their point of view, to their satisfaction, so that they could say, you understand me. You understand me. Paul did this in Acts 17 a bit when he was preaching on Mars Hill. A bunch of people who did not know God's law. Paul quotes a poet, apparently a Greek poet. He says, as one of your poets have said, in God we live and move and have our being. Okay? And he's not quoting the Bible at that point. He's saying, you know, Shakespeare said something about God, and for one time he hit the nail on the head, and just like Shakespeare said, you know, the quality of mercy is not strained. Line from Shakespeare, right? So you start where the person is. Please, you're sent to them. You're their slave. And you go and you point people to the Lord from there. Stand on Christ and his word, and from the security of absolute truth, engage the culture where there is some truth. Okay, so you're standing on Christ and the absolute truth of his word, and you engage the culture where there is some truth. You know, even though the culture is lost and blind and so on, they do have some truth, you know. They understand what oxygen is. Things like that. They know how to fix a car, you know, the mechanics and the people who don't know the Lord make discoveries in medicine that God reveals to them. So we have a lot to learn from the pagan world. You know, half of what I know about life comes came from the, I was born in the Gentile culture. No Bible, you know, no church. That's why I was discipled for 18 years. Some rabble-rouser college person invited me to church, so I went. You know, after I strayed from second grade Byzantine Catholic. But knowing the culture has some truth, start where God has revealed himself there, and then go. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And you can't really be a secular person at all, considering the omnipresence of God. But to listen to a person, real important. James chapter 1, of course, says, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's one possible application. Don't become angry. Don't just be an angry Christian, you know, in the midst of conflicts. Another way of putting it, when we pass on Christ to somebody, open your ears before you open your mouth. Okay, that's a good one from the Lord. Open your ears before you open your mouth. We're called to understand the people around us, to the Gentiles like a Gentile, to those who have God's law like they have God's law. Some simple examples, and this is again, God the Holy Spirit will be faithful you'll become like a Bible concordance to a person, and when they mention any need in their life, family life, finances, tax time again, you listen, what does taxes do to you? How do you feel about that? How's your view on government? And then you listen, you could say, boy, I'm glad God really, He's the governor of everything. You could begin to move to the truth to a heart, because it's a hurting heart that speaks. Take the secular person. How can you share with a secular person? A secular person often says, hey, God doesn't care about me. I pray and nothing happens. I feel like he's not there. You know, you say, I've felt that way too. I read the Bible a lot, and I turn to God, and sometimes I feel like he's not there. Hey, did you know Jesus felt like that one time? When he prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt like you felt there, Mr. Secular Guy. Of course, you don't call him that. But you try to have the Lord presented to them at their point of greatest disagreement or a common ground that they have, feeling abandoned by God. Go home and read the whole Psalm 22. That's the way you feel, and that's the way Jesus felt. And sometimes you have to trust God when you feel like he's not there, just like we do with people. Say you're talking to a Hindu. It's as little as I know about Hinduism, about half a paragraph worth. But I do know Hindus, they look at Jesus as a really great teacher. They respect Jesus as a teacher. So if you're talking to somebody who's Hindu or into Eastern religion, hey, did you know you have a lot of respect for Jesus? Is that right? Yes, I do. Just ask the question again. Any teaching that he gives that you really like or honor? Maybe that most chances are they're not going to know anything. But you say, one great teaching he gave, it kind of hits everybody's heart. You know, love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Hindus go, oh, that's right. They're going to agree, you know. Without not knowing God's law, they're going to begin to hear the truth. And again, you could share, when I hear those things, I feel like, oh, Jesus, unless you come and help me love God and love my neighbor, I'm just not going to do that. I'm too selfish. So see how much we need Jesus. If you want to first meet him as a teacher, fine. That's how these disciples got started. And then later they said, guess what? He's the Son of God. Took them all the way to chapter 8 in Mark to realize that. John's gospel earlier. But you start where the person is at. How about a Muslim? You say, well, that would be the hardest one. It's hard to find a committed Muslim, by the way. Most of them are very secular, just like Christians in name only. Most of the Muslims we know are Muslim in name only. They don't go to mosque every Friday, I'm sure. You hang around a mosque on Friday, it's pretty empty. But anyway, you ask a Muslim, hey, what do you believe about God? What do you really like? Oh, I like to. We pray seven times a day. That's what we do. We pray. Hey, you know what? Praying is such a good thing. You guys must really want to talk to God, praying seven times a day. You don't condescend, but really try to understand. And then you can say, you know, Jesus, he prayed a lot. And you guys, I know you guys said he was a prophet. You know, he prayed, Lord, your will be done. And Muslim people they love the idea of God's will. And he also prayed, forgive us our debts. And we forgive our debtors. I mean, he wanted us to pray that. So you begin to point a person to Jesus. Be a friend. So to the Gentiles, and you might say, well, that's hard, you know. Can't I just invite them to church and tell them to read the Bible and that'll be it? That's a good way. And most of us aren't doing that too well. We can. But we could try to live in the world where God sent us. And the Lord will help us. This October, we'll get to hear from a missionary who's actually in the Middle East, living among those who don't have God's law, you know, happen to be of a different faith. We're not supposed to say their name so that they're protected when they come and go overseas. So we're gonna honor that. But we'll learn from that person who lives in a culture very, you know, very much anti-Christ, like our own. How do they pass on the Lord in the midst of the culture where God sent them? So it's a way to bring Christ to them. Begin with prayer. L, listen. E is eat. We're going to run through this one. Eat with the people who don't know the Lord. Okay, that's a challenge. It's hard enough to try to get a hold of each other to have a decent, you know, piece of pie or cup of coffee. But it's been few and far between. I said, come and let's have some food with some neighbors or friends and just share person to person. How many times did Jesus use meals to reach people? Here it comes, I think about a dozen or so. At Peter's mother-in-law's house, Jesus heals her. She waits on them. Somebody said Jesus healed her because he was hungry. He wanted to eat. You get it? Okay. Jesus feeds people on two different occasions. He cares about the basics of life. Jesus has dinner at Matthew's house. That's Jewish corruption territory. You're eating with corrupt Christians, you know. They don't follow the Lord. What are you doing? Jesus ate at Matthew's house. We're bringing them to know Christ. Jesus eats at a Pharisee's house. Oh, brother, that's a mistake. He shares truth with them. Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha. Martha's a very busy gal, so Jesus points her to himself. Jesus has dinner at Simon the leper's house, which is, that's not too good since he was a leper. Mary and Martha happened to be there. Lazarus was there also. And then the Passover time, the Last Supper. And after rising from the dead, Jesus begins to connect with his fearful apostles. He comes to them. One of the first things he says to them after the resurrection, do you have anything to eat? Okay. And then he sees them another time. He says, come and have breakfast. If all you did was eat with people, you would have a great ministry. In fact, I think we should, you know, maybe we should have like eating ministry. You sign up, you go and you host somebody, and there you go. You're walking the way Jesus did One way to share the Lord. Begin with prayer, listen, eat with people, serve. The whole mentality of serving. And then, most important, which is really, I think, nearest to our heart, we share this, our story of what Christ means to us, what he did for us on the cross. It's kind of almost like the blind man in John chapter 9. He hardly knew anything about Jesus. I don't even think he knew any details about who Jesus was. And after he's healed, they said, the enemy said, "Who healed you? That guy, I think the guy who's a sinner, he healed you." And the guy said, "I don't know too much about that. I just don't know too much about Jesus at all. I really don't. But one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." And you as a Christian, you could be a week old Christian. I turned to Jesus last week and I don't know too much about him. But at least I know this. I felt away from God and now I feel I know I'm with God. He's with me. I was bound with guilt, and now I know I'm forgiven. One thing I know. And you can tell your story. And that God's faithful to work through you and I as his dear people. And God does more than we think or ask in our attempt. Probably something that we're really not good at doing, because we are in combat, you know. Even the American soldiers who go to Iraq and Afghanistan, even though they know this, they're not just over there to like wipe out as many as possible. They go there, they sit down with the people in the village. They eat, they talk, and they say, "We'd like you guys to have some, you know, new life." That's what we're here to do. Same with the believer, and God calls us to that. So feel sent, just like the Apostle Paul felt that. God will be faithful through your life. Let's pray together as we come to his table. Dear Lord, thank you for the Apostle Paul, this missionary, straightforward, assertive man. And yet he was saying, I'm gonna fit in with these Jewish folks to lead to Christ. Gentile folks, same thing. Weak. I'll understand what it is to be weak. And be your faithful self in us so that we might go also. And this is just one model, Jesus, of being a witness. And others we honor also. So be with those who hurt and need your care. We pray for Jimmy Byerly, Lord. Give help. Be with events coming up that are meant to honor you. Vacation Bible School, so children meet and follow Jesus. Shore Foundation, that people are blessed through that. Stewardship Seminar. People hurt as much in finances as they hurt in other areas, because we sin there too. So let your good news help people. Be with Rachel Wilson, Father, serving in Ethiopia, and those fighting cancer or chronic pain, give them your grace. Hear our silent prayers, Lord, as we come to you.